I want to share. It doesn't really have to do with my teaching for today, but it kind of has to go with Nina's sermon last Sunday. It's just a kind of like a testimony, kind of backing up her sermon. One of the things she said was that you take care of what you have now, and you'll be blessed with something better or bigger, something like you want. You take care of what you have now, and you'll get something better. Something that I've been praying for a very long time is a new guitar. I've had the guitar before then. I've had it for maybe 6 years. And it was a cheap guitar. By industry standards, it was a toy guitar. It was a toy. I was basically made out of plastic, and the sound was good, but it was a toy guitar. It was a little kid guitar. But I took care of it. Almost every 2 weeks, I took all the strings off, I polished it, I cleaned the fretboard, put the fretboard conditioner in it. I treated it like a high-end dollar guitar. And for 5 years, I was doing that to that guitar. Then God put it in my heart to give it to somebody. And that was kind of hard because, first of all, I kind of need it for praise and worship. So that was kind of hard. And so I finally, after it was like about a month ago or so, God gave me the push, give it to this guy, give it to him. And I was like, okay, but I'm going to get another guitar first. But I could never get the guitar. The prices were too high. The one that I wanted, they didn't have it or whatever. Then I struggled playing the guitar, the one I had before, not Mitch's, not the that one, but the other one. I struggled to play it for like a month until I just kind of like fed up with it. Nina was like kind of freaking out. I was like, I can't play the guitar anymore, and I just put it down and I walked off. Then I just finally did. I'm just gonna give it. I'm gonna go take it. I took it to school. I left it in Mitch's office, and the guy came and got it. And to see that kid's face when he got the new guitar, it was priceless. It was awesome seeing him. And then afterwards, recently, he told me that he led worship with it, and he said that it was the most amazing feeling that he ever had. So that's kind of neat. But the day that I gave that guitar finally away, the stars lined up, God made a way, and I was able to get my guitar, my new guitar. It's really a blessing. It means a lot to me. I've been wanting a guitar like that for many years. It's a Taylor. Guys that know that about guitars should know a little bit more what that means. But along with that, I don't think it was just taking care of the guitar that God provided the funds to get this guitar. It wasn't just taking care of it. It was what I was doing with the guitar. It's because I was leading worship. Even though when it was hard, I was still leading worship. Like I don't know if you guys, but leading worship can be a bit of a burden. Not so much leading and singing, playing guitar. No, everything else that comes with it. Like making sure the songs are in the computer so they could sing along, making sure you get all the songs out, all the chords out to the whole team. And it becomes hard. It hards to balance. And then all of us have a work life and all of us have a personal life. So it's kind of hard to figure out all of us getting together. And it gets kind of hard, but we were serving and God provides when we serve. And because we were worshiping, that's what I was using it for. That was my main purpose of the guitar, was to worship. I believe that's what he provided. So to go into what I'm going to talk about, what is worship? Worship is a feeling or expression of adoration for something. And another one I found that was to bow, to put your face to the ground. And then I heard somebody say, if you're going to worship, you have to get your head below your heart. So the Grand Canyon, the Great Barrier Reef, the Harbor Rio de Janeiro, Mount Everest, the Northern Lights, Victoria Falls, what do they all have in common? they're the wonders of the world. They're considered the seven natural wonders of the world. And all these mountains, all these canyons, all those waterfalls, they were created by somebody. Anybody want to guess who? All right, if you don't believe me, here's proof. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's just enough already just to praise him. Just God made it all. And then people all over the world, people travel from all over the world to see all these natural wonders that God created. God creates things that are in awe. These people are in awe of the beauty of these things. Do you ever look at something that somebody created, like an event, invention, a show, a movie, music, a book, and then you wonder, like, how in the world did they come up with that? That was pretty amazing. One of mine, I've actually shared this before, but one of mine is record players. Record players blow my mind. Like, who'd have thought, like, oh, I'm going to stick a needle on this thing that spins and put some foil, and it's going to move, and it's going to create sound. You see, it doesn't make sense. I still don't understand it. But we should think about God the same way. Like, how did he create? How did he come up with all these wonderful things? How did he come up with these giant falls, the Grand Canyon? How did he come up with that? How did he come up with the sun, the moon? How did he make them stay there? Well, they spin, but you guys know what I mean. How did he come up with gravity? Like, seriously, like, you ever think about gravity? Like, it's kind of out there. Psalms 19, 1 through 4. Try to do this. Are you going to do it? Okay. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voices are not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. The stars, the galaxies, all praise him. Everything on earth praises him. There's a video on YouTube. I was thinking about playing it, but it's like 15 minutes long. I'll probably play it afterwards. Like, I'll just have it running, so maybe you guys, after the service, I'll have it running, maybe so you guys could see it. But there's a video of Louis Giglio, and he goes and he gets the sounds from stars, from different stars, and he just grabs them. Like, he doesn't grab them, but, you know, he records them. He gets a recording. And then he gets whales and some stars and galaxies. He lays them down all together, and there has a beat. Like, I'm not going to try to do the beat because I'm not a beatboxer. But there's a beat to it. And then he laid the song, How Great Is Our God, over it. And how well it fits, it has to be God. All the stars, all the whales, all the animals laid together are all proclaiming how great is our God. So how powerful is that song? When we sing how great is our God, we're singing it with the universe, with the galaxies, with all of nation, with all the nation. And what's even awesome, I think that song is the most translated song in the world. It's the most sung song in the world. I forget in how many languages. I had read it on, was it Time Magazine, I believe, that he was the most sung artist in the world, the guy who wrote How Great Is Our God. So God has been good to us, right? So we have no excuses to not worship him. No excuses. Right now, let's just take a moment to thank him for something. Just go ahead. Just say it out loud. Thank you, Lord, for Wednesday services, Lord. All right. Everybody did it? A little warm up. Now go to two things. Lord, thank you for my apartment, Lord. Thank you for my job.
Thank you, Lord, for
cooking. All right. All right. A little bit more warmed up. Let's go with five. Thank you, Lord, for music, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your son. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for our cars. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our homes, Lord. He is all powerful. He knows all things, and he is everywhere at the same time. Yeah. Romans 5:8. Keep this in mind. He is all powerful. He knows all things, and he is everywhere at the same time. Romans 5:8. But God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, and Christ died for us. So he is all powerful. He knows all things. He is everywhere, and he still cares about us. So there are no excuses for not worshiping God. There are no excuses. Something that's very, that sometimes we get into the process of singing. Just singing. And we're here at worship, but we're not really worshiping, you know? Our hearts need to be in it. Our hearts need to be worshiping God. We cannot guard our hearts from God. A lot of us have been hurt in many different ways. And that we have a broken heart and we're guarding it from everybody, but we're also guarding it from God. We can't do that. Jesus came to bind up the broken heart. If your heart is hurt, let him heal it. We can worship in any way, literally in any way. We can worship in any way as long as our heart is in it. 2 Samuel 6, and we'll just read 1 through 5 right now. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Beth-le-Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart and brought it to the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill, and Uzzah and the sons of Abinadab. When driving the new cart, the ark of God, that guy went before the ark. So the ark represents the presence of God. If you guys didn't know, just represents the presence of God. And David and the Israelites had lost, they lost the ark. So in other words, they had lost the presence of God. And because their sin towards God. But afterwards, they put down an offering to God, and then God sent them to go get the covenant, and they got the covenant, and now they were bringing it back. So go to Samuel 6 through 10 now. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nakam, Izzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. For the oxen stumbled, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And the God struck him down there because of his error, and he died there because of the ark of God. And David was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzzah, and the place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David was not willing to take the ark of the Lord into the city of David, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. It's very interesting that a guy tried to stop the ark from falling, and he got struck down. It's really odd, right? Well, you could look at it. I think you could look at it two ways, and I think each of us need to take it up with God and see what it actually means. One could be that because Jesus wasn't in the scene yet, our sins could not stand the presence of God, and so when he touched the presence of God, he died. The other one is he tried to stop the presence of God falling. So imagine if the presence of God is falling into a place and somebody tries to stop it. You guys follow? It's dangerous. So I think each of us have to take it up with God and see what this actually means. But don't try to stop the presence of God from falling. It won't go for you. 2 Samuel 6, 11 through 15. Is it on there? Did I put it on there? I didn't put it on there again. Well, I'll just do a quick recap. David left the ark at this guy's house. What was his name? Go back. Obedium. It sounds like a basketball player. He left the ark there, and that guy started being crazy blessed. His household started being crazy blessed. So then David was like, what the heck? If the ark is there and he's being blessed, I'm going to take that back and take it to my city. So then he goes back and he picks it up. So verse 16, As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out to the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each one. Then all people departed each to his home house. David returned to bless his household, but Michelle, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of servants, female servants, as the one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his household to appoint me as the prince over Israel, and the people of the Lord and I will celebrate before the Lord." That's right. "Now I will make myself, yet even more contemptible than this. Now be abased in your eyes, but by the female servants of whom you speak, by them I shall be held in honor." And the daughter of Saul had no child to the day of her death. That was a lot. So you go back two slides. Or no, that one. Yeah. So first of all, you think, why would she get mad for him praising God? Well, you got to remember, David has a past. He wasn't always he wasn't good at keeping it in his pants. So when he was uncovering himself, it's kind of like his wife was seeing, well, he's tempting them. So you can kind of see that where she's thinking. But that was not his thought. His heart was in worshiping God. His heart was in celebrating that God had brought them the victory. She was too worried about what was going on outside the spiritual realm that she did not see what was going on, what God was doing. She was too worried in the physical and she could not see the spiritual. She could not see that David had brought back the presence of God to their city, to their home. David was dancing so hard. He was worshiping so hard. And his heart was in it. Some versions, I really laughed at this. The youth really laughed at this. And one version, it says that David danced like a dirty old man. And what I picture is like those people on Facebook, like when a drunk uncle is dancing. That's what I pictured. But he probably looked ridiculous, but his heart was still worshiping God. We can worship however we want, as long as our hearts are in it. Psalms 98:4. How do we worship? "You make a joyful noise to the Lord. All the earth break forth in joyous song and sing praises." Luke 17:15. When he saw that he was healed, turned back and praising God with a loud voice. That story was the story of the account of the lepers, the 10 lepers that were healed. And Jesus sent them to go. He didn't even pray for them, if I remember correctly. He just told them, go tell the Pharisees or the priest. Go tell the priest that you're healed. And then they all left. And they realized halfway through that they were healed. And the guy came running back yelling, shouting and praising God with a loud voice. People respond differently to the presence of God. They all worship differently. So it's kind of silly that we all might feel the same, like if we all want to worship the same. Each one of us has a unique sound. Some of us have a warfare sound. Some of us have a loud, authoritative voice. Some of us have a small, soothing voice. Some of us have forms of music. Some of us have a more rock tone. Some of us have a more jazz or bluesy tone. The same way people respond differently. Some people raise their hands when they feel the presence of God. Some people cry. Some people dance, smile, they laugh, they sing. Usually when a prophet is giving a prophecy, they rock back and forth. Some people run. Some people bow down. Like even Moses, he took off his sandals. That's how he worshiped. And so I think if your heart's in it, you could worship any way you want by taking off your shoes. Psalms 95:6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. Revelations 4:10 and 11, I think. I put 122, but I don't think Revelation goes up that high. The 24 elders fell before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. By your will, they existed and were created. Let's go back. Something that I kind of like. It's not part of my thing that I had at. But have you noticed that the elders keep throwing their crowns down? It's right there. They cast their crowns down before the throne. Well, I keep reading and they keep casting their crowns down. Well, who's putting their crowns back on their heads? Jesus, I believe that when we worship him, he brings us up. He crowns us with his glory, and we go and lay it all down, and we see God in a new way, and then we fall down again. They start to composure themselves. God picks them up, puts another crown on them, and then they see God in a new light, in a new way that they'd never seen him before, and they fall again in his glory. The same way for us. Every time we worship, we should be going deeper and deeper and deeper into worship. See God in a new way every single time we worship. We should never be going backwards. We should be moving forward. Revelation 11:16. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God. So in heaven, they're all worshiping God by singing, by kneeling down, by bowing their heads. Here on earth, we have a very special worship that we could give to God here that he cannot get from anywhere else. We could only give this worship here on earth right now. It's worshiping through pain. It's worshiping through hardship, through confusion, through brokenness. That worship is special to God because it's so beautiful to him. Because in heaven, there is no brokenness. There is no heartache. The worship that's there when we're hurt is so, so beautiful to God. We could only give him that worship here. You guys understand what I'm saying? And so a lot of times we only worship God and praise God when it's all good. That's when we give him glory. No, you give him glory for when you're going through the problems too. Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up a signal over the peoples. Praise is a road building equipment. It removes obstacles that exist between people and God. Isaiah 60:18. Violence shall no more be heard in your land. Devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. So let's go back to the last verse. Wait, just hold up. Remember this part. Your gates are praise. Your gates praise. I think it should be our, wait. Anyways, your gates are praise. All right, go back to the last verse. Go through the gates. What gates? The gates of praise. When you praise God in your city, right here, right now, when we praise him in our household, we prepare the way to meet God where he's at, in the spiritual realm. In Revelation 21:21, it talks about pearl gates. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the streets of the city of pure gold, like transparent glass. So this lesson might turn into a little bit of a science lesson. Do you guys know how pearls are made? Irritation. Irritation is how pearls are made. So, in other words, when you're getting irritated, when you're getting all jumbled up, when you're all broken, when everything's not going right, and you praise them, that's when the gates are being made. The pearl gates are being made. Because when you praise them, like I said earlier, when you praise them through the brokenness, that's when the pearly gates are made. All of nature worships God. That is like, I don't know if it's because I'm a worship leader or whatever, but that always gets me, that all of nature worships God. I could go outside and I could hear just the wind in the trees and the cars going, and it sounds like worship to me. Like how I said earlier about the whales and the stars. They all worship God. I found a video, me and Mitch found a video about, I already preached this to Mitch. Did I call you Mark earlier? Okay. I already preached this to Mitch. Kind of want to hear what they're saying. Anyways. We found a video about somebody cut a log or a tree trunk, and they cut it and they put it on a record player. And nothing happened. But the guy started messing around with the record player, and he found out that the tree disc, I guess, whatever, had notes in it. It had some notes. So the guy got the notes and put it to it's called MIDI, and it's a musical interface that you put through your computer, where you put the notes in the computer and it plays the music for you. And so I queued up this video, and it's a tree trunk playing the notes, the computer playing the notes from a tree trunk. So go ahead. We have the fastest internet in the world. Oh, is it? There we go. Oh, there it is. Isn't that cool? Go to the, because stop it, because it's automatically going to go to the next video. We don't want that. I know it was a little bit hard to see, but every year, I don't know if you guys know about trees, but trees grow from the inside out, just like us, spiritually. They grow from the inside out. And every year, every ring represents a different year. If it had a good year, like, the ring would show a different type of ring. I don't remember exactly. But if it was dry, it would have a different kind of year, different kind of ring. If it had a dry year, it would have a different kind of ring. And when it was hurt, I don't know if you guys were able to see the knots and the broken areas. That's when the tree was hurt. The tree had a song to sing every year. Every season, it had a song to sing. In the wet season, in the dry season, it still had a song to sing. We still have a song to sing. If you guys didn't understand the metaphor, we still have a song to sing. It doesn't matter if we're wet spiritually, if we're feeling dry spiritually, we still have a song to sing. God still wants to hear our song. He delights in the broken praises of his people. It doesn't matter if we have a good day, a bad day, an okay day. He still wants to hear our praises. We still have a song. And my opinion, the parts where it was hurt, the tree where it was were cracked or whatever. In my opinion, that's where I felt the most powerful, the most beautiful sound coming out. And if you guys didn't hear it, is when it started playing a little bit more melodic tone. The same way God hears it. When he hears our praise, when we're hurting, oh, it makes him so happy. He's not happy that we're hurting, but that we trust him enough, that we love him enough to go with him, to him with our problems. That he takes delight in that. It's the same way when Alessana comes up to me with her problems, with something that she's bothering her, it kind of makes me happy that she trusts me enough with her problems. Of course, she's 7 years old. Her problems are mainly like, this won't fit, I can't reach so-and-so. Yeah. But the same way God rejoices in us when we go to him when we're broken, when we're hurting. In every season, we have something. So like I said earlier, there's no excuses. Singing is the most common way to worship. It's done all over the world. Psalms 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the God, of the godly. Sing a new song. Every season, you have a new song. So just sing what you are doing, what your how you are feeling right now, and it will be praise to God. In Exodus 15:1 was the first recorded song in the Bible. Not like physically recorded, but in the Bible it was recorded. And it was right after God parted the Red Sea. They worshiped right after God parted the Red Sea, after they crossed it. It says that Miriam picked up the tambourine and started worshiping and started leading them in worship, which I find odd because you can't really identify a song by the tambourine. Can any of you guys identify a song by the tambourine? Like if I go up there and start playing the tambourine, you guys are going to know what song it is. No, I doubt it. So that's where I kind of like, I found it funny when I read in the Bible that they led him in a tambourine. It's like, it's just funny. We can worship whenever. Yeah. And now like, I'm starting to wonder, like, does she have like a tambourine in her hip? And just like, I'm ready to praise. She probably was. We can worship whenever. The Israelites worshiped after God parted the Red Sea. The angels and these elders are worshiping in heaven. All of nature is basically worshiping God all the time, 24/7. We could worship God whenever, whenever. The First Amendment says so. According to the U.S. government, we can worship whenever we want. Some people will try to tell us that we can't, but you can. The First Amendment protects that. You could worship whenever you want. People say that you can't worship at school. That's a load of crap. That you can't worship at work. No, yeah, you can. I worship every day at work. Every Mondays and Thursdays, there's worship going on, student-led worship going on at the school. I have praise and worship music going on 24/7, but all the time I'm in my office. If I'm in my office, there's praise and worship music going on. And I've gone into Mitch's office, and he has music going on too sometimes. And the only thing that I get out of it is when people come into my office, they walk in and they're all, oh, it's peaceful in here. Yeah. That's the only thing I ever hear. Even from my bosses and stuff like that, they walk in and they're like, oh, it's peaceful in here. I like this. So anyone who says you can't worship in school at our work, it's just the devil trying to scare you. He's just trying to scare you. That's it. He's trying to scare you from not worshiping. They're going to say, oh, it's against the law to worship this. No, it's against the law to worship. Do that at work. No, it's not. No one can control your heart. When you worship from your heart, God is not restricted to time or place. He's not restricted to Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, mornings, and I guess every other Friday when we have youth group. He's not restricted to then. Your heart condition is the only thing that doesn't put a restriction on God. It puts a restriction on you. When your heart's not in it, you put a restriction on yourself. God is not restricted by time or place. John 4:19-24. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming where neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is for the Jews. But the hour is coming and is here, now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." In spirit and in truth. The truth is, God is always good, and he is worthy to be praised. So when is it in spirit and in truth? When God is good, right? Which is all the time. I'm not going to do your thing. But what about when we have a bad day? Is it still good? When our hearts are in it, when our hearts are in worship, that's when it's in spirit. When we worship with all of our hearts, when we worship God, because not because we want something from him, but because he's good. Because he's the creator of all things, just for who he is. God doesn't want flattery. He just wants worship. Flattery is when you do something good for somebody when you want something in return. That's not what God wants. He wants to give us all these things. He wants to bless us. But he wants us to worship him just for him. It's an expression of gratefulness towards God. It's the way we live, the way we treat others. It's the way we represent God, how we talk, how we live again. Our hearts are very, very precious. And I'm not just talking about the physical sense, we need them to live. It's pumping our blood through our body. Stuff. But I'm talking about our spiritual hearts, our soul. When we give God all of our heart, all of our worship with our heart, when we lay it all down, it's so soothing for him. It's so the aroma, the fragrance of it is so pleasing to God. I was listening to a sermon. I'm not sure if it was this morning or yesterday, but it was from the Bethel crew, and it was Christina Black, I believe her name is, and she was talking about how she was guarding herself from God. She's a famous songwriter. Now that I'm thinking about it, she actually wrote the one thing remains, the one we were singing today. She wrote that, and she wrote that in death and in life. Let's go ahead and put it up. The bridge of One Thing Remains. I don't know who this is for, but I don't know why I'm saying this. And in death and in life, I'm confident I'm covered by the power of your great love. Just the last part. I think it will, yeah. She was sharing about how that moment, she had wrote this lyric, but she just wrote it because it sounded good. And a few years later, she was guarding her heart. She was in a place where she was hiding from God, where she used the term guarding her heart from the Lord, and that she was desperate, and then she went into a prayer meeting, and just at her house, she was just praying at her house, and she saw Jesus behind a cloud of smoke, of black smoke. And she said, "Jesus, what are you doing over here? You're supposed to be with me." And he says, "Well, invite me in." Well, when she invited him, the cloud started turning into black diamonds. I don't know why I'm sharing this. It started turning into black diamonds, and then she started having she had a location of where she met God in the spiritual realm, where it was a diamond cave. And she asked God, "God, could you give me a black diamond for remembering this time so I won't forget it?" And then she got out, started going back to the normal day. And she started thinking, well, that's dumb. And she shared that at the time that they didn't have a home, that they were just living from people's houses to houses. They were just moving around, her and her husband. And that they were staying at her really close friend's. And that the friend woke up in the middle of the night saying, "You gotta buy Christina a black diamond." And so he went and bought a diamond for her. And he had it, but then later on, she was pregnant, and later on she had the baby, and the baby was born without a skull. And when she was holding the baby, she remembered that she wrote this: "And in death and in life, I'm confident I'm covered by the power of your great love." And she was singing that as the baby passed away. And she was sharing that how powerful that is. "And in death and in life, I'm confident I'm covered by the power of your great love." And in death and in life, we should be praising God. And in death and in life, we should be giving glory to God. Because God was hurting with her. I know that God was hurting with her. In the same way God is hurting with all of us, in all of our hurts, in all of our confusion, God is right there with us. But we are covered in his love. We are surrounded by his arms. He is there comforting us. So don't let any situation, don't let anyone stop you from worshiping God. There are no excuses. All right, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come before you and worship you, Lord, and learn more about you, Lord. And we just thank you for all that, Lord. We just thank you for the things you're going to do throughout this week and throughout this season, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, and that we praise you, Lord. That we praise you, Lord. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you, Lord, for all that you'll do and because of who you are, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that praise will bring a breakthrough to our city, Lord, to our nation, through our city, to our homes, Lord, to our work. That praise will bring that breakthrough that we've been looking for, Lord. That your presence will fall down. Your presence will come on us. Your presence would fall in every aspect of our lives. That they'll affect people around us. That they'll wonder, why is this different? Why does this feel different? And we could say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the answer, Lord. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.